Session number 27247, Reel 2.
Mr. Frank Borlée, Reel 2. Now, we're talking about the first couple of years of the war. We'll come to when you joined up again.
Yes.
But what about how your life was affected by the war? I mean, firstly, what about the thing of air raids and air raid precautions?
Well, we had a brick air raid shelter built in the road outside the house, actually.
Could you describe it? This isn't an Anderson, it's much bigger.
This was brickwork, this was brick built.
And what was it like?
Full of condensation.
Was it above ground?
Above ground, in the middle of the street.
And how many people would it? How big was it?
There was one, two, three, six families.
So about 20 people it would hold.
Yes, quite easily.
What was inside oven condensation? You know, I mean, was there any furniture or anything?
No, only bunk beds. Just bunk beds inside, and a table in the middle.
And would you actually use this shelter?
Well, people did use the shelters. Yes. Yes.
Did your family?
Yes, yes.
What was it like in there?
Very depressing.
In what way?
Claustrophobic. And also, we used to spend most of the time, the men anyway, standing outside talking, unless anything was really happening, you know. Then, because once the air raid started, air raids, you naturally went in. The most that we had in home was incendiary bombs through the roof.
Was there many air raids in your area?
Yes. Oh, yeah, because it was quite a large... The factories at Acton were the attraction, I think. We also had a landmine which blew down the Brocker Flats opposite.
Where were you when that happened?
I wasn't at home, that I do know. I could have been away working. Could have been away working then.
Were you nervous during the raids? I mean...
Oh, yes. I think the word is frightened. I think the word is frightened. Not nervous, but actually frightened. Especially as you didn't know what to expect, really.
No. What about the blackout? What blackout precautions did you take in your house?
Oh, we had the blackout windows. We had a frame, a wooden frame, which I think my brother made because he was a chippy. He was a carpenter. And on that was what they call blackout material. And this used to go into those what they call box sashes, you know, the window that goes up and down. And they were just put into the hole of the window. And over the doors used to hang curtains on the inside. That was the only blackout that we had. Well, that was complete blackout anyway.
What was it like out on the streets, during the blackout? I mean,
didn't go very far, did we, in those days? Didn't go very far. If you had any money, you might have gone to the pub. But that's if they had any beer. And
so you
that
wouldn't
was
go
about
out
it.
Did you do any volunteering for the ARP or anything? Or
I worked with the ARP sometimes, not all the time, because I wasn't always home.
Now, what would you do for them? Were you a runner or what?
Yeah, run. We used to run. Yeah, do runners. Yeah, yeah. On the old bicycle. I had an ex-post office bike. 28-inch frame. I remember that quite well.
And what would you do? I mean, what was the job of ARP runner?
We used to just take messages from one... At my depot, my depot was the Indian Pavilion by the Wembley Stadium, which was the old Indian Pavilion from the 1923 exhibition. And the ARP was in there, and we used to go to take various messages or written messages from one unit to another, but I don't know what it was all about. But I didn't do a great deal of it, as I say, because it was quite possible I'd be away at work with my father, leaving my mother at home with my sister and brother.
How about rationing? How did that affect your life? Food and clothing rationing, did it affect you much?
Well, yeah, very limited, wasn't it? Food was very, very... You was always looking for an alternative, wasn't you, to help out, you know? Not that there was much going. But as I say, I didn't have a great deal to do with that because it was such a lengthy day that we used to do if we was at home. It was always an immense amount of travelling. It was always up at... it was always first train out of bloody Elberton, wherever you was going. And whatever time you got home overnight. But, you know, sometimes we used to get an early day if it was job and home. In other words, if we was finishing the job off before we went back to Wood Lane the next morning to find out where we were going again. But we never knew where we was going. Matter of fact, sometimes we used to go to work, take a suitcase with us, because we didn't know.
And so what happened? I mean, how did you come to rejoin the army then? Tell us about that. You went to speak to the drill hall. Now, which drill hall was
that? I went to talk to... I went down to Gypsy Corner. Now, what's the name of that drill hall recruiting depot I went there? That comes. I'm not quite happy about that one for a moment.
Okay.
And went in there and spoke to a sergeant and asked him about if I could join the army. So I told him about the territorial business. And he said, well, you could go into... there is a boys' battalion you can go into. He said, they'll take you from the age of 16. So I went home... spoke to my mother about it, and one thing another. So she said, well, you can go in. That was right. So the forms were signed and everything, and I went off and joined this boys' battalion. I was sent to Elm Grove Road Barracks, Harrow. Then I was sent to the Working Men's Club at Whittlestone. I slept on the stage.
What did you do at Elm Grove Road Barracks at Harrow?
Well, that was generally being kitted out. They kitted us right out with everything.
Do you remember what you got there, or was it just the same?
Pardon?
Was it just the same as you got as a territorial, or was it different?
Oh, no. A great deal more equipment. Great deal of equipment.
Remember any?
And also a little lecture about what regiment you're joining, the famous King's Royal Rifle Corps.
So you were joining the Boys' Battalion of the King's Royal Rifle Corps. Did it have a number at all?
Yes, 70th Battalion.
So that's the young soldiers?
Yep. And now, the next...
And what month did you join? Do you remember?
Well, I think that must have been about the October, I expect. I don't know.
Of 1940?
Yeah. Because when I was 18, that's right, because when I was 18, I signed on for 7 and 5. 7 years with the colours and 5 with the reserve.
So you'd be 17 when you joined?
Yes, but I signed on as a regular when I was 18.
So about 3 or 4 months later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, so you were kitted out at this Elm Grove Road Barracks. Anything else happened at Harrow? Or were you just there a matter of a day or so?
No. They was getting all these young men together, and there was about three lots of us. One lot was at Selfridge's Sports Ground in Woodcock Hill. One lot was at Elm Grove Barracks, and we was at Wildstone Working Men's Club. And then...
And what were you doing there? What's...
Well, nothing in particular. We was just sort of biding our time. It was like... And then we got all... The whole three units of us, we got sent to Northfield Aerodrome.
Still in October then?
No, that must have been later in October. We went to Must have been around Christmas time, I expect. We went to North Weald Aerodrome, and we was put on air defences there.
Now, had you had any training by this stage?
Very, very limited. Very, very limited. And also we had, for some unknown reason, Canadian Ross rifles.
Now, what were they like? Tell me what they were like.
It was like a long-barreled rifle which fired a 300 round, not 303.
And what did you think of them?
Bloody horrible. Useless.
Why? What was...
They were so bulky compared to the... I don't know why we was changed over from the Shortley Enfield that we had. I haven't got a clue. I think it's to do with the amount of ammunition or something at the time. The other weapon we had was a Lewis gun. Got trained how to use a Lewis gun.
Now, what did you think of that as compared to the Bren?
Well, that was a horrible... That was useless because the number of stoppages you could get on it was just unbelievable. And I was very, very old, too. Very old. I think about 1913 was the one we had when I was looking at the kite mark on it, as you might say. Yeah. That wasn't all that good. And anyway, it was... When the airfield was getting strafed, as you know, Northfield Aerodrome took some terrible beatings. We lost five there.
Well, hang on. So what other? We'll come to the action. What other training were you getting? You were getting trained while you were at Northfield.
Yes, a very limited training. We were billeted in.
Tell us about the billets.
Good. Exceptional. And food was good. RAF food and RAF billets. Actually, they had sheets.
Were they huts or what?
No. They had permanent buildings. Must have been built long before the war. Also, there was. As I say, they. We lost five chappies there.
Well, tell us a bit about the operations. What sort of air defences, can you describe what they were?
What we had was just Lewis guns. But on the outer perimeter, there was must have been a Royal Artillery unit. And I think they had both of us, I don't know. But they had a heavy calibre guns, all we had, naturally. But that's all we had, was rifles and Lewis guns. And we used to stand to it an hour before sunset, or an hour, and the same in the morning, before dawn, stand to an hour before, until we got what they call stand down.
Now, stand to where? I mean, did you have...
Well, in a trench. In a trench.
What did they look like? I mean, just a slit trench, or a trench system, or what?
Well, a proper built slit trench. A little bit, wasn't just like we used to action, straight, and, purpose-built is the best way to ask.
Did you build them?
No, we did not build them, no. No, we did not build them.
Now, tell me about the German bombing raids, or strafing.
The strafing, well, one thing, when our chappies got killed, they was in the building. And it was cannon shelled. And there was a partition down the middle of the room, which was full of really cannon shell holes and God knows what. Box at the end of my bed got blown to pieces. At the end of each bed was like a metal box that you could keep your belongings in. I didn't have anything in mine, it was empty. But that got hit. At that particular time, we was actually out on the drone. And the chaps who got killed were the chaps who'd been on all night. A couple got wounded, but because five got killed.
Did you open fire?
No. No, never see them. So quick, never saw them. Bloody old thing on a tripod there, time you got round, or you could name or nothing with it. It was absolutely useless. Well, you know, on reflection, I couldn't even see the part of us being there. Whatever we done was nothing. So after that episode and that, they moved us. Then we went to Castle Camps in Essex.
To where?
Castle Camps in Essex.
Camps?
Yeah. Castle Camp. Castle C-A-M-P. Camp.
And where's that near? I don't know that one.
Well, it's funny. It's one of those. It was an aerodrome where you could be in three different counties.
It's another airfield.
Part we was in was Cambridgeshire. We was there doing absolutely nothing except march backwards and forwards across the airfield for our food. And then we got then they moved the unit to just outside Bury St Edmunds. Forget the name of the airfield for a minute. And then they came along and said, started talking to us about joining either the parachute regiment, glider regiment, or the commandos.
Now, had your training, before we go into that, had your training developed at all by this stage?
No more than basic.
So what was basic training? What had you done?
Rifle drills. On the range, firing the rifle naturally. We didn't have any brain guns. We only had, in the boys' battalion, we only had rifles. There was no other weapon. The Lewis guns were left at the RAF depot. That's all we had was rifles. Didn't have anything.
Still the Ross, or?
We'd gone back to Shortley Enfield then. Gone back to Shortley Enfield.
So you'd done rifle training. What other training? Bayonet?
Normal bayonet training, which comes under all rifle work, but other than that.
Hand grenades?
Nope.
No mortar then?
No 2-inch mortar, no 3-inch mortar, nothing.
Just what about physical training? Rifle training? PT, physical training.
Well, that was pretty important. That was a lot of, hell of a lot of that. And also to keep us occupied, I expect.
So how fit were you? What kind of physical training were you doing?
Cross-country runs. Never had any swimming.
About how far would you go on the cross-country?
About 5-6 mile.
So quite tough.
Yes. Then we went to... They decided... they said, what did you wish to go in? I'd already mated up with a chap called Jack Bailey then. I met him at Wheelstone Drill. And we decided he'd come from the Royal... He'd been in the same position as me with the Territorial Army, but he'd been in the Royal West Kents. And said, what, we're going to go in? So they said about going into the 52nd parachute and glider regiment. So we decided on that.
Now, why that?
Somebody said it was light infantry, which the KRRs were really. And we went en bloc. The names of the chaps, I could tell you, every single one who went with us.
Who were they?
Watson, Gardner, Clark, Roberts, myself, Jack Bailey, Smokey Howard, that was our little corner, I would put it as our corner click, and we all stuck together.
So you were putting down to join the Oxen Bucks Light Infantry?
Well, not really. If we'd known it was the Oxen Bucks Light Infantry, I could assure you we would never have gone.
So what did you think you were joining?
We thought we were going into the paraglider unit, which was the Army Air... We were told we was going into the Army Air Corps.
And you fancy, what did you fancy about that, you and your friends?
Well, there might have been a little bit of glamour in it, I should think. Might have been a bit of glamour. But
did you realise how dangerous it was?
No, but we did realise that we could all keep together. And being some of them, when you take it in consideration, say Bill Gray was only 16. Pete Muskett was only 16. So we was a little very, very, very tight group. And I've been for 60-odd years or more.
So, the other thing is, we briefly mentioned it, you'd also signed on as a regular. Now, tell me about that. What made you decide to do that? And did your mum know?
No, I'd done that without anybody knowing. Because once I was 18, I was my own master.
So you'd done that in January 1941?
Yep.
And so when was it you were joining, well, it was turn out for the Oxen Bucks. When did you leave the boys' battalion? Roughly.
That must have been before the Christmas, wasn't it?
41.
40. Yeah. I was 18. I was 18 in 41, wasn't I?
In January 41.
Yeah. Yeah. So I come from the... Let's get this right.
Because you'd only joined them in December 1940, the King's Royal Rifle Corps.
Yeah.
So you can't have left them in December as well.
No. You said... I've got it now, what you said now. I've got it round the wrong way, haven't I? Yeah, I left them... That's right, I joined the... That's right, I joined the King's Royal Rifle Corps just before the Christmas, that I do know.
Of 1940?
Yes. And then when I was 18...
That's a month later.
Yeah, I joined on for 7 and 5.
Right. And then when did you leave the Royal Rifle Corps?
King's Royal Rifle Corps, I think we left in the... I'm not quite... I think I've got it recorded in my service book.
Right. When abouts do you think it was?
It must have been in the have been late spring.
So, May.
Yes, because just figuring something out, because we went to Ulfricum. That's right, yeah, it must have been about the late
spring.
So,
May 41.
Yeah.
And so, where did you go? You all went as a group?
Yes. Yes, we went and had a medical.
What was that like? Was it strict?
Yeah, it was a very, 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 very strict medical because one or two of them didn't make it.
So what were they checking that they didn't check normally?
Sight. Couldn't have false teeth. And couldn't wear glasses. To start with. Remember that quite well. There was three things because Bobby Cutler, mate of mine, they stood him down for that. Yeah.
So you had a very strict medical, and then where did you go?
We went to Bulford.
That's where you first joined. Now, who were you joining there?
We joined the Army Air Corps.
And what was the Army Air Corps?
Volunteers from all various units of the British Army.
And did they explain to you what the role was or anything?
Yes, they told us then that it was going to be a glider-borne unit. And if anybody wanted to change and go to the para, they could. And three of our, Stan Clitheroe, Holden and Winkworth, all decided to go to the para.
Now, what did you think about glider? I mean, what did you think when you were
Didn't know nothing about them. Didn't have a clue. First introduction. But then, the most deceiving part was, we was in the Army Air Corps, then right out of the blue, along came a unit called the Oxford and Bucks, 2nd Battalion of the Oxford and Bucks Light Infantry, which had just returned from India after, I think, over 20 years in India. And to us, there was all these old men, because that's what they were then to us, and we couldn't understand what this was all about. Then what they actually done, they completely weeded this battalion out, then started fitting us in.
So you stopped, you weren't, when did that happen? I mean, was that straight away almost?
No, that would have been, I would think, about the October.
Of 41?
Hmm.
Right, well, in between then, April and October, what happened? What sort of training were you getting with
Very, 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 very tough training. Very, very strict.
Tell us about
Hell of lots of marches. The old 5 mile in 1 hour. 10 miles in two.
And what were those tests like? I mean, how tough was that for you?
Well, at that time, it was very, very hard, but God, naturally, with all these things, they got a lot easier. 22 miles in 6.5 hours was one of the things. And, of course, the worst one of all was the Ilfracombe to Bulford, which was 134 mile in 3.5 days, carrying full service marching order.
Was there a routine on the march? I mean, would you still have the normal British Army stopping every 10 minutes every hour? Or
10 minutes on the hour, yes. Normal 10 minutes on the hour.
And would you march in time?
Yes, march to it. Yes, oh yeah. March in time, quite
and
right.
Were you going at any particular pace? I mean, you weren't
Well,
like
you know, the when the Oxen Bucks took us over...
But before then, I'll come back.
Well, we were doing the normal... ceremonial, as you know, with the light infantry, is 140. But we never used to do that actually on marches. It's a very, very fast pace, I should think about 130, something like that.